This year is brought to you by TorahWeb.org.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. The Chumash and the Mishnayos and the Gemara have dinim about melchama. Unfortunately, once in a while you have to have a melchama. The Torah tells us that you don't draft men into the army until they're 20 years old. A child becomes bar mitzvah, a bas mitzvah at the age of 12 or 13. The bezon shalmata will hold a person responsible for whatever averus he does after the age of 12 or 13. But the bezon shalmaila, the Gemara tells us and Midrashim tell us, only hold one responsible for averus that he does after the age of 20, when the personality is completed. So the same is true regarding melchama. You only draft people in the army after the age of 20. It's not right to draft before that age. Women, the Gemara says, on the first daf in Kiddushin, you don't have to go too far. The Gemara says women are not drafted into the army. You're only supposed to have men. When we fight against the enemy, we're not permitted to kill innocent civilians. So taf and oshim, the women and the children before the age of 20, are considered civilians. So you're not allowed to kill them. What about Kohanim? That was a big issue. During the First World War, the Kohanim in England contacted the government and they said they're not permitted to be Metamil and Mesim, so they're not allowed to draft them into the army because they're going to be dead bodies all over the place. They're shooting to kill. There was a real war going on. So the government gave over the Shaila to the chief rabbi, and chief rabbi gave it over to the London Bezin. And they paskin that you do draft Kohanim into the army. There's a proof from the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara talks about the dinim of Yifas Toar, the heter that the Jewish soldier has a right to live with a non-Jewish woman, only applies if he's a soldier in the army. So the Gemara discusses a Kohen. A Kohen is drafted in the army, and the Shaila whether he has a heter to have Yifas Toar, a whole discussion. So obviously, Kohanim are drafted into the army. One of the big rabbonim in Vilna, 100 years ago, was Rav Shlomo Levilna. He was the Zkan HaRabbanim. He was the oldest, very big Talmid Chacham. He was the proofreader of the Vilna Shas in the late 1800s when they were printing the Vilna Shas. So the Rashash put up a lot of money. He was the president of the Kehillah in Vilna. He was a wealthy businessman. And he put up a lot of money to have the Talmud Bavli printed. And they have the Horus in the back by Rav Shlomo Levilna. He was the proofreader. And a lot of times he'll explain why he put a word in parentheses and he put another word in brackets, why he corrected a Girsa and the Gemara and so on. So Rav Shlomo Levilna has a Sefer Binyan Shlomo where he has essays, Halacha Lamaisa. So he assumed a Dover Pashut. He has a table of contents and he writes, this essay I deleted from my Sefer, but he writes in three lines what the whole essay was all about. That in order to be the Baltakeya, you have to be Mechuyib in the mitzvah. Let's say the best Baltakeya in the community is a woman or a child before Bar Mitzvah. So the women are not Mechuyib, strictly speaking, to blow shofar. It's a mitzvah sasesha as magroma. To children before Bar Mitzvah are only obligated midrabbanan to blow shofar. They're not obligated manatara. So they can't be the Baltakeya. So whenever there's a mitzvah, let's say you want to say Kiddush to be Mitzvah, other people you want to lay Parsha Zohar. So whenever there's a mitzvah to do something, and I do it on behalf of a whole group of people, I have to be mechuyib b'davar. So Shlomo Levilna assumed that Kohanim are not drafted in the army because there are going to be dead bodies all over the place. He came up with a chiddush that just like the Sefer HaChinuch says that women are not obligated to hear Parsha Zohar, you're only obligated to hear Parsha Zohar if you can be drafted in the army. We want you to know that there's a din of mechiyas hamalik. We want you to know he may call upon you to join the army. So women are not supposed to be joining the army, so they're not mechuyib in Parsha Zohar. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch writes. So Rav Shlomo Levilna writes, Kohanim are not mechuyib in Parsha Zohar either. So therefore, if the Balkari in the shul is a Kohen, he can't lay in Parsha Zohar to be mozi the tzibur, because whoever is not mechuyib in Dover can't be mozi the Rav Medechai Vosk. So he writes this in the table of contents. He writes, I wrote a tshuva, but my older brother, Rav Shlomo Levilna, was a genius. Apparently the older brother, Rav Bezalel Levilna, was the super genius. I don't know how he can be bigger than Rav Shlomo Levilna. He was the bigger genius in the family. So he says, my brother told me to delete it, the whole thing is wrong. He doesn't tell you what's wrong, but that's what's wrong, because it's a Beferish Gemara in Kiddushin, that Kohanim are drafted into the army. The Rambam writes a very surprising statement, The whole Shevet Levi is not drafted into the army. Why? Because the Gemara says you're not supposed to drift Talmidei Chachamim into the army. The Gemara has a comment that Avraham Avinu did wrong, that he had his Eliezer, was his Eved. Eliezer was a Talmid Chacham. The Gemara says he wasn't supposed to drift him into the army. He did, so that was improper. And the Shevet Levi is supposed to be the international kollel of Klal Yisrael. That's why we're obligated to give Maaser Rishon to the Leviim. You don't need all of those Leviim. You don't need 1/12 of the whole nation functioning in the Beis HaMikdash, but they're supposed to be learning. So they're supposed to be the international kollel of Klal Yisrael. So the Rambam says Shevet Levi was never drafted into the army. Where did he get that from? Because in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe Rabbeinu to wage war against Midian, and they took 1,000 soldiers from every Shevet. Elef Lamata, some total Shnei Mosa, Elef Chalutzei Tzavot. There were 12,000. Why were there 12,000? It should have been 13,000. There were 12 Shvatim, but Yosef was split into two Shvatim, Menashe v'Ephraim. So the Rambam says that Shevet Levi was never drafted into the army. So the 12 Shvatim are the 12,000 soldiers. Well, 1,000 from Manasseh, 1,000 from Ephraim, and no soldiers at all from Shevet Levi. Rashi and Chumash writes, not so. It says on the Pasuk, you should take from every single Shevet, so Rashi says, including Shevet Levi. Rashi is quoting a Sifrei on that Pasuk. So that's a strange Rambam. The Rambam writes that the whole Shevet Levi was never drafted. Not only was Shevet Levi drafted, even the Kohanim were also drafted into the army. The Pasuk in Chumash tells us that one who just got married can be drafted into the army for a whole year. But that din only applies to, the Gemara has two types of Mechamah, the Mechamah Rishus, Mechamah Mitzvah. So that din, all the exemptions, so whoever built the house and wasn't Mechanachit, whoever planted a vineyard and wasn't Mechalalit yet, those exemptions only apply to Mechamah Rishus. Mechamah Mitzvah doesn't apply. In order to wage war Mechamah Rishus, you have to have authorization from a Bez Nagod, which we don't have today. So we don't have any Mechamah Rishus. We only have Mechamah Mitzvah. That's why the Israeli army is called Tzvar Haganah. Haganah means they're only allowed to fight a defensive battle. They're not allowed to start up with the enemy in order to expand the Eretz. So that you're not allowed to do. That's a Mechamah Rishus. But a Mechamah Mitzvah, everyone is drafted into the army. There are dinim in the Chumash that we have to be careful when you have a group of soldiers together that has a status of Machne Yisrael, an army base. So the dinim of Kedushas HaMachne, you have to be careful. There shouldn't be Erva, there shouldn't be Tzoya, there shouldn't be Meiraglayim. And we carry over this dinim to davening and to learning Torah. You're not permitted to learn Torah, you're not permitted to daven, say brachas, keneged Erva, keneged Tzoya. What were the soldiers doing that you have to be careful? Shouldn't be Erva Tzoya. What do you need? Kedushas HaMakom. So the Netziv, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Valozhin, the Valozhin Yeshiva lasted for 90 years. It was originally founded about 1801, 1802, something like that, and then it was closed by the Russian government 90 years later. So the Netziv has in his, as a teenager, he wrote a commentary on the Shiltas. An Einfall. We don't use the Shiltas so much, but Rashi and Tosfos always quote from the Shiltas. So he had, and his future brother-in-law, the one who wrote the Aruch HaShulchan, married the sister of the Netziv. Her maiden name was Berlin. So the Aruch HaShulchan also alludes to the fact that he also wrote a commentary on the Shiltas, an Einfall. Two people in the same generation, the same yeshiva, had the same Einfall that they should write a commentary. But the Netziv printed his, the Aruch HaShulchan didn't. So the Netziv has, when they published his commentary on the Shiltas, yeah, Bereshis and Shmos is the first volume, Vayikra is the second volume, Amid Badvarim is the third volume. So he wrote an introduction to his commentary, which is really an introduction to Torah Shebaal Peh. It has very little to do with his commentary on the Shiltas. He wrote an introduction to all of Torah Shebaal Peh, but he wrote it in installments. He wrote the first third when he printed the first volume, second third when he printed the second volume, and so on. Now they have the whole Hakdamah set. Now that when they printed, they put the whole Hakdamah together. People don't understand why is it in three different parts, because it was printed originally in three installments. So he has He has a lot to say there. So he's talking about learning, an introduction to all of Torah Sheba'al Peh. So he quotes sources from the Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos and Gemaras all over the place, Midrashim, that all wars in the world are the fault of the Jewish people. That's what our enemies claim also. The Jews are responsible for anything that goes wrong in the world. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, there are specific punishments that are miyuchad for specific averis. So milchamas are because the Jewish people are not learning Torah properly, not learning enough Torah, or because the rabbonim are paskening wrong, or because the bati dinim are falsifying psokim. Ibus adin, kilkol adin, because they're not learning enough, they're not learning properly, or paskening wrong. So the Netziv has this, and he quotes the Gemara in Makis, has a comment on the pasuk in Shir HaMalos. There are 15 Shir HaMalos, and one of them is a famous Omdes ha'iragleinu b'sha'arayich Yerushalayim. So the simple meaning of the pasuk is, when the people went to be Ola Regal on Pesach Shavuot Sukkah, so they were all excited, they're going to be Ola Regal. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. The Gemara makes Omdes ha'iragleinu b'milchama. The Jewish soldiers are successful in battle because of Sha'arayich Yerushalayim, because of the yeshivas in Yerushalayim where they're sitting and learning. So that's why the soldiers have Hatzlocha. And the Gemara tells us that Bimei Chizkiyo HaMelech, towards the end of the Vaisvishan period, so they Chizkiyo HaMelech forced everybody to sit and learn, and they were checking from Don at Be'er Sheva, all of Eretz Yisrael, every little child knew all the laws of Tumah V'Tahara. Everybody was an expert in Tumah V'Tahara. Chizkiyo HaMelech forced them all to learn. So that's a question. What right do you have to force a person to learn? Strictly speaking, you have to learn Hagisa Bayom HaMelech. You learn a little bit, 5 minutes every night, 5 minutes every day. And you're Yoitzeh, you won't become a Talmid Chacham if you just learn 5 minutes every day, 5 minutes every night, but then you basically, you'll be in fulfillment of the mitzvah, Hagis Bayom V'Laila. What right does he have to demand? Everybody has to sit and learn. So he says, no, that was for the purpose of security of the Medina, in case there'll be a Muhammad. So the way to win the Muhammad is to have everybody learning Torah, the way to prevent the Muhammad. If the Muhammad is always a punishment for not learning, we're supposed to be Yoitzeh Muhammad Shal Torah. So if we're not Oisig, Macham Teshoter, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us into a Mocham. If first the Rabban Shalom will make a Mocham far away, in Vietnam, in Cambodia, wherever. If we don't get the hint, then he'll bring the Mocham closer. If we still didn't get the hint, then he'll get us involved in the Mocham, because they're not learning enough, or they're not learning properly. So the Netziv has this wild suggestion that when they went to battle, they had a group of Hezdenikim sitting and learning on the front. So that's why the Torah has a din, that you have to be careful for Kedushas Mokam. You can't have Tzoyim Eraglam, because they're learning there. They're learning. That's very strange. We don't have that. We do have it. We do have it, a little bit. And this Mocham is unbelievable. They printed thousands of copies of Daf Yomi. For all the soldiers who want to learn Daf Yomi, they printed 45,000 copies, I think, of the Minchas Osher and Chumash Bereishis, because the soldiers, when they're sitting around, they don't want to twiddle their thumbs. So those who are interested in learning will have pocketbooks, unbelievable pocketbooks. They can learn. Then they printed thousands of copies of Minchas Osher and Hilchas Chanukah and Yoni Chanukah. It's a different kind of army now. An army is interested in learning Torah. But usually you don't have the people learning on the front. So the Netziv says that then you have to be careful for Kedushas HaMachaneh, is because the soldiers are going to be learning. That's in the schus of learning they should win the war. It's usually assumed not like that. Usually assumed as follows. The Mishnah at the end of the first parak in Erevin has Abod Dvarim Patru B'Machaneh. There are four dinim midirabbanon that apply in the Jewish army base. And there are dinim in the Chumash about Kedushas HaMachaneh. So the Rabbi Nachmanel on the side of the page, printed in the Vilna Shas, the end of the first parak in Erevin, quotes, the Yerushalmi has three opinions in the Amoraim. How many soldiers do you have to have? Just have three soldiers going to Lebanon one night to do some work there. So that doesn't have a din of Machne Yisrael. So how many soldiers do you have to have? And how close do they have to be to each other that it has a din of machna? So the Yerushalmi has three different opinions. And one opinion is you have to have 12,000 soldiers in an army base that it should be considered a machna based on the pasuk elef lamata shnei maser elef chalutzei tzava in the Melchemes Midyon, the 12,000 soldiers. The other second opinion Yerushalmi is no. Elef Lamata, 1,000 soldiers, Rabbi Shevet, and if you have 1,000 soldiers, that's called a machne. We seem to paskin la halacha 10. The third opinion, Rishami, that said the Magen Mishnah says, why 10? A minion. The Gemara says, kol be'asara shchinta shari. When you have 10 people, the shchina will be there. You say a dova shebi kedusha, kadosh kedusha baruch hu, you have to have a minion. Yeah, that's because he's saying kadosh kedusha baruch hu. Rabbi Soloveitchik would always say jokingly, if you have 10 Jews reading the Morgen Journal, 10 Jews reading the Yiddish newspaper, the Shekhinah is going to be there. Why is the Shekhinah going to be there? It does mean, whenever you have 10 Jews. The 10 Jews are saying, so why is over here? Why do we assume, so the answer is, the Ribbono Shel Olam promises that if you have 10 Jewish soldiers who are right to be mitzarev to a minyan, if you have soldiers who don't believe, they're not maminim, apikursim, they don't observe anything of the Avodah Zarah, then you can't be mitzarev them to a minyan. If you have 10 normal religious soldiers who are mitzarev to a minyan, that itself is a dovish b'kedusha. The fact that you're fighting Mechemes Hashem, you're fighting to protect the Jewish country, protect the Jewish people, on Mechemes HaMalek, whatever it happens to be. So that has the status of a dovish b'kedusha, because the Shekhinah promises it's going to be there. So that's why you have the dinam of kedusha samachana. Many years ago, many of us still remember what happened when all of the whole world is different now because of the fact that some of the Arab terrorists hijacked a few airplanes years ago. So that's why I remember when we used to go to Eretz Yisrael. We often would go on Matzoi Shabbos and we would come there 5 minutes before the plane was about to leave. They would say, quickly, quickly, go in, run to the plane. They didn't check your bags, they didn't check you, they didn't check your ticket. You can go onto a plane, had someone else's name on the ticket. It didn't even have my name. I would sometimes speak out of town. And the one who is sponsoring the Shabbaton wanted to have the frequent flyer mileage. So he would say your name is Steinberg, and go on the plane. It used to be normal like that. Everybody did like that. The whole world became crazy now because the Arabs were hijacking planes. So they check everybody, you can't get into a plane these days. Normally. So the story was, Rabbi Hutton was visiting in Eretz Yisrael one summer with a group of Talmidim, and then on the way back, there were several airplanes that were hijacked by a group of Arabs, and they took them into Jordan, I think. So some of Rabbi Hutton's Talmidim were very wealthy businessmen. So they approached the State Department that they're prepared to give a fortune of money. The State Department should please negotiate with the terrorists, and they're prepared to give a fortune of money to redeem Rabbi Hutna from his imprisonment there. So the State Department's position was, they told him a week later, we never negotiate with terrorists because they ain't Dovasov. You can never negotiate with terrorists. But before they heard the answer from the State Department, so they asked the Rabbanim, what's the din? Is it permissible? So that day there was a meeting of the Agudas, one day there was a meeting of the Agudas Rabban. I remember one of the rabbis in yeshiva got married that day, Rabbi Heshi Reichman, got married that day, and a few rabbanim came late to the wedding because they were at the meeting of the Agudas Rabbanim. So they told us what happened at the meeting. So Rabbi Yanka Kamenetsky said, even though there was no war then, there was no war going on, he said the Arabs started a war in 1948, and I think at that time the only country that made a peace agreement with Eretz Yisrael was Egypt. And all the others were officially still at war because they never made a peace agreement. And they weren't shooting missiles, they weren't using tanks, they weren't using rifles, but they were trying to destroy the whole tourist industry. They're trying to ruin the fact that people will come to visit Eretz Yisrael in the summertime, a lot of people in the wintertime also. So he considered this a hemshech of the Melchemet HaShechrur. He said in the middle of a war, you're not allowed to read, there's no mitzvah pinyon shvuyim to get the prisoners, to get the hostages out from captivity because it's going to be detrimental to the war effort. So that was the psak hamakubal from, I think, the Ashkenazi Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael had that psak for many years. Now that they're negotiating to swap prisoners, I think this is all based on Chacham Avadia gave a psak years ago, and the chief rabbi, who's his son, follows his psak, so the Svarisha Rabbanim say like that. But many of the Ashkenazi Rabbanim follow what Rabbi Yechiel Kamenetsky said, that they feel that there's no, if it's going to be detrimental to the war effort, so there's no mitzvah pidyon shvuim. There is a din that you're not allowed to cause civilian casualties unnecessarily. That's Noshim V'taf. Noshim V'taf never drafted into the army. The Jews never drafted Noshim V'taf, and the Goyim had the practice. They didn't draft young people and didn't draft women in the army either. However, if it's necessary for the war effort, so you have no choice. So whenever you go to war, if it's a Mechemes mitzvah, so the fact that there's a mitzvah to go to war, that gives you the heter to put your soldiers into danger and to kill the enemy also. There's an issa to kill a nochri also. So you need a heter. So whenever you have a Mechemes mitzvah, that itself is mata the issa ritzichan, is mata the issa of putting your soldiers in sakona. If you have a Mechemes or Rishus, you have to have authorization from the Bez Nagorl. So the permission, the authorization from the Bez Nagorl gives you this heter ritzicha. So the heter ritzicha, unfortunately, we're not happy about it. The heter ritzicha makes it that it's permissible not only to kill the soldiers, even to the extent that it's necessary to protect your own soldiers, it's permissible to kill the civilians as well. You have no choice. That's the din melchama. The pasuk tells us in Parshas Vayishlach that when Yaakov Avinu was coming back to Eretz Yisrael and he heard that his brother Esav is approaching him with 400 men, so 400 soldiers, he was afraid he's going to kill him. So the pasuk says Vayira Yaakov Miyoid, he was very afraid, by Yetzel, he was very aggravated. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, most of the Rashi's on Chumash, where Rashi has something, an idea of substance, it's always from a Medrash, or from a Mishnah, from a Gemara. Whenever Rashi talks about Dikduk, that's not from the Gemara, that's from the Medaktikim. But whenever he talks something with substance, that he didn't make it up, he just quoting Midrash. So the Pasuk, on that Pasuk, Rashi quotes a Medrash, he was afraid maybe he will get killed. He was nervous, he was aggravated, maybe he'll have to kill other people. So the commentaries all ask on that medrash that Rashi quotes, why should he be nervous, but why should he be uncomfortable about killing other people? If they're coming to kill you, so there's a din, you're supposed to kill the roidif. So that's what the Mefarshim explained. The Maharal Miprag has in his commentary on that Rashi, in his Sefer Gur Aryeh, so he says that every war in the world, there are always civilian casualties. That's what Yaakov Avinu was upset about. He wasn't upset that he's going to have to kill those soldiers who are right after him, who want to kill him. And every war, unfortunately, we're not happy about it. You have to kill civilians. So that's what he was not happy about. But you have no choice. That's the only way to fight a war. The Torah tells us, Chisavoy Mulchama in Parshas Bahaloischa, the Chisavoy Mulchama Be'artzachem Alatzara Tzarareschem Ha'ariyoisem Bechatzoitzes. We have to blow Chatzoitzes. What is that all about? That's lav davke. The din is, it doesn't only apply when you have Muhammad, Be'artzachem and Muhammad in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is considered, before you finish this sentence, Eretz Yisrael is considered the mitzaref of Klal Yisrael. All of us who live in Chutz La'aretz, we're Jewish, we have a Kedushas Yisrael, and Kedusha shows what obligates us to observe mitzvahs. That's when we recite a bracha. We say, Asher Kedushana b'mitzvah yisav, b'tzivanu. Kodesh Baruch has sanctified us. He gave us Kedusha Yisrael. And that's what's mechayva. That's what obligates us to fulfill mitzvahs. But there's another concept that only applies to those who live in Eretz Yisrael. Those who live in Eretz Yisrael are Klal Yisrael. The tziruf of the tzibur only applies to those who live in Eretz Yisrael. Those who live in Chutz La'aretz, and Gemara says, are considered like yichidim. The Rambam has quite a few dina based on that. He quotes Gemaras like that. Only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are considered Klal Yisrael. Ben Gurion used to say that the Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz are not Jewish. Yeah, you understand why. He didn't believe in Kedushas Yisrael. He writes in his autobiography that he's an atheist. Probably not true. Probably was not an atheist. He was always quoting Tanakh in the Knesset. He's probably not an atheist, but whatever. So he only believed in the Jewish nation. So he's right, Jewish nation only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Those who live in Chutz La'aretz are not part of the Jewish nation. That's why there's a mitzvah we should all pick up and move to Eretz Yisrael. Should all be part of Klal Yisrael. So the Torah tells us, Chisavoy Mochama Be'artzachem, if there'll be a Mochama in Eretz Yisrael, means that the Klal Yisrael is B'sakana. All those who live in Chutz La'aretz are not Klal Yisrael. if there's a Melchama in Eretz Yisrael, means Klal Yisrael is b'sakana. The Rambam writes, even if you only have 10 Jews in Eretz Yisrael, the millions of Jews in Chutz La'aretz, the millions of Jews are Yechidim, and the 10 Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are Klal Yisrael. The Rambam writes in one place in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, if you can, the Ribbono Shel Olam promised us that Klal Yisrael will never disappear. Klal Yisrael will always exist. So the Rambam says, if there will be a Holocaust, and there will be no Jews living in Eretz Yisrael at all, millions of Jews living in Chutz La'aretz, and no Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, then it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu violated his promise. He promised that Klal Yisrael will never disappear. Klal Yisrael means you have to have 10 Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, they have more than 10 Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Torah says, V'chisavoyim l'chama b'artzchem, if there's a tzoros ha-tzibur, if Klal Yisrael is b'sakon v'harayosem v'chatzotzes, have to blow chatzotzes. How come nobody's blowing chatzotzes now? So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about that, and then he quotes all the Rishonim talk about that. The Mishnah is in Tainus, Maseches Tainus, talk about blowing chatzotzes. So he says, we follow the Magen Mishnah in his commentary on the side of the Rambam, that that mitzvah only applies to chatzotzes from the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have any Beis HaMikdash, we don't have chatzotzes of the Beis HaMikdash, so we don't blow chatzotzes. There are those who say you're supposed to blow shofar. You don't blow the chatzotzes of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Gorin is famous. He was blowing shofar when he was Mimuchama. He was following that din. So the Torah says, what is that all about blowing chatzotzes? That enhances the tefillah. We blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah in the middle of Musaf, in the middle of Chazoras Hashatz. We shake a lulav in the middle of Halal. If you're going to shake a lulav in the middle of the Bishmana Esrei, that'll be a hepsik. And if you're going to blow shofar in the middle of Halal, that'll be a hepsik. When you do a mitzvah in the middle of another mitzvah, that's a hepsik. But the shofar blends in with the davening, elevates the davening to a higher level. The Gemara says that the Beis HaMikdash is the Mokum Tfilah, ki Beisei Beis Tfilah Yikarei L'chol Ha'amim. We invite all the people of the world to come pray to the Jewish God, not to pray to Avodah Zarah, to come to the Beis HaMikdash to pray. So the Gemara says, Miyam Shechar Beis HaMikdash Nin Alu Sha'arei Tfilah. The gates of Tfilah are closed, because the Beis HaMikdash is not there anymore. And the Pasuk says, V'gilaseich HaKam Ke'ezak V'ashaveh HaSosam Tfilah. So Baruch Hashem doesn't listen to the prayers anymore, because the Beis HaMikdash is not there. Unless you have Tfilah She'eshim or Demois, if it's such a serious issue that the person is brought to tears when he's davening, some people just know how to turn on the faucet. They start crying in the middle or whatever. It's not meaningful. You have to know, what are you crying about? Yiddish folklore, they say the story about the fellow who was saying Karbonis. He says, I'm coming. He was crying. I'm saying. So he said, what are you crying about? You're saying Karbonis. He said, no, Nebuch, the Parman Israfim. He thought they burnt them alive. The Parman Israfim, they shechted them, and they burnt it after it was dead already. They didn't burn them alive. So for the Gemara, so if a person is davening with such sincerity and such a serious issue that he brought to tears, that's a higher level of tefillah. And Shari Afalpisha Shari Tfila Ninalu, Shari de Moisla Ninalu. If it's a tfila with crying, then it's a higher level of tfila. So the Gemara says, Yom Truah Yelachem on Rosh Hashanah, the sound of the Truah is translated. The Gemara quotes the Targum Onkel, it's on the Pasuk, Yom Yabava, a day of crying. The Tkiah Shafer, the Tkiah is a straight tone, Pshuta, straight. But the Truah is supposed to sound like crying, and there are three different kinds of crying, so we do all the three possibilities. Truah, and Shvarim Truah. So the same thing when you blow chatzetz, it's supposed to be a more serious level of tefillah. You have to have what the Rama calls zo'oka. Tefillah is all year long you daven. We're basically healthy, basically people making a parnasa, the children are getting married, everything is not bad, everything is okay. There's no great shasa sakana. So then you have to daven. The Rambam says there's an obligation to daven once a day, every day, Minat Torah. And we daven the Rabbanu three times a day, four times a day, five times a day. Yom Kippur, you daven Musaf, you say Neila, five times a day. But when they have an Eis Tzoras, Tzoras HaTzibur, then there's a Chiyuv. The Rambam writes, Lizuk Alohariya, Zaka means a higher level of tefillah. You have to have special tefillahs. In the days of the Tanoim, if it wouldn't rain in Eretz Yisrael, that would be, when there would be Atziras Gisham, there's no rain, that was considered a sakana. The no rain, nothing, no vegetation is going to grow, the people can die, the animals can die, it's a big shasa sakana. Today, it's no longer about 15 years ago, I think 10, 15 years ago. So the Rabbanut has a lot of younger rabbis now, so they were considering being goyzer tainus. Every year there's a problem in Eretz Yisrael, there's not enough rain. So they were considering being Goyzer Tainus, like it says in the Mishnah. So the older Rabbonim were making fun of him. So he said, what are you talking about? In the days of the Tanaim, if it doesn't rain, it's a sakana. Today we know how to desalinate the water. We have tons of water. Just it'll cost us a lot of money, but there's no sha'asa sakana. So you're not Goyzer Tainus anymore. But whenever there's a sakana to the Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael means the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, that is the Klal Yisrael. A special mitzvah, Lizak Elohariya, Yibloch HaTzaytzu Yisrael Beis HaMikdash, and Lizak means to have special tefillahs. So what special tefillahs do you say when you have a Tainus Tzibur? They used to fast Monday and Thursday a few weeks in a row when there's no rain or when there's a tzara. So Rabbi Akiva composed the tefillah of Avinu Malkeinu, special for the Tainus Tzibur. You have to have slichas, you have to have special things. The Chasam Sofer kept a diary. It's printed. I remember when I was a little boy, my father's shul, they had, whoever printed a sefer would send a copy to all the shuls. Remember my father's shul, they had this diary of the Chasam Sofer. So I used to read it in between one Ali and the other. So they have fascinating things there. He writes a little bit history, and he writes a bar mitzvah pilpul that he wrote for a nephew of his, and a dvar Torah that he said by Shemir Brachas, all in his diary. So he writes, he was a yeke. Chasam Sofer was from Frankfurt. He was a yeke. He always signed all of his Jewish, Moshe HaKotten, May Frankfurt. He was a yeke, but he had a rabbonis in Hungary. So he lived in Pressburg, and he writes that there was some Austro-Prussian war going on in his time. And he says they had to leave Pressburg because it was a sakana. And he instituted that they say Avinu Malkeinu every day, and they say the long B'hu Rachum every day. We always try to get out of saying B'hu Rachum even on Monday or Thursday. But when there's a Melchama, so the Chasam Sofer says, you have to say special Trinas, you have to say special Zo'oka. Zo'oka means something more serious than the regular davening. Usually, we say Avinu Malkeinu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, even though we don't say Tachnun on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it is not a contradiction. We can say Avinu Malkeinu. On Shabbos, we're more makbid about, it says, Mitzoch HaFatzech V'Dabe Dover. Yishaya Novi says that we should have Kibud V'Yoinek, and we should have Dabe Dover Shalayhei Dibuch HaShal Shabbos Ki Dibuch HaShal Chol. So it means, number one, you shouldn't talk about business on Shabbos. A lot of people have the practice, they'll talk about business, Nishtam Shabbos Geret, and they make up how much they're selling the car, Nishtam Shabbos Geret. And the other guy argues how he wants to pay less, Nishtam Shabbos Geret, and they think that makes a heta. That makes a heta when you're saying a tefillah for a chayla, Shabbos Yom Yilizik. If the chayla is sick, so if he's really sick, you don't even have to say Shabbos Yom Yilizik. He's a little bit sick, he's not really even sakon sefashet, then say Shabbos Yom Yilizik. But it's not right, they're not allowed to talk business. Tyson says, "Daba dov shalahei dibuchal shalsham." Not allowed to talk sicha b'teila. Not allowed to talk dvarim b'teila on Shabbos. The Gemara has an expression: "Bekoshi hiti v'sheil shalom b'Shabbos." The Chachamim said, "Bekoshi, if you see someone in shul, see someone you haven't seen for a while, allowed to say shalom aleichem, good Shabbos, how are you? That's all sicha b'teila." So bekoshi hitiru, they allowed us to do that on Shabbos. So when it says in Shulchan Aruch, the meaning is when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, or Rosh Hashanah falls on a Shabbos, then you don't say Avinu Malkeinu. Because Daba Dover is more serious on Shabbos than it is on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov also we leave out all the Trinas in the middle of the Shmona Esrei. But on Shabbos we're more makbid. Many shuls, when they call him Duchen on Yom Tov, so if it's Yom Tov on Shabbos, they don't say the Tefillah for the Chaloimus. If Yom Tov falls on a Shabbos, they don't say the Trina. If it falls on a weekday, then you do say the Trina. So we're more makbid on Daba Dover, not to say Trinas on Shabbos than we are on Yom Tov. So the Shulchan Aruch says the meaning is when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, you don't say Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, well, on Shabbos, you don't say Avinu Malkeinu, except for Ne'ilah. At Ne'ilah, you do say Avinu Malkeinu. That's the meaning. Why? So the commentaries explain, because Ne'ilah is the Shas Gmar Hadin. That's when the Bez and Shalman is going to decide what's going to be for the next year for the whole Medina, for each individual person. So that's the Shas HaSakana. So in the Yeshiva, we say Avinu Malkeinu, even on Shabbos. All day long, we say, there's a sakana all day long. They're killing, unfortunately. They keep on killing soldiers, and they're wounding soldiers. It's something terrible. So we say Avinu Malkeinu even on Shabbos, because the bayas all day long is like Shas Ne'ilah. The Chasam Sofer, in his diary, that diary writes that there was a suggestion was made maybe we should be goyzer tainus that the war should end. Reasonable request. So he says he doesn't think that's permissible because the Gemara makes a statement, Mohammed's arashalta de geula. Mohammed's will lead to the geula. And if you're going to pray to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you should stop the war, then you're slowing down the geula process. You're not permitted to. And he assumed that Mohammed's arashalta de geula applies to all wars in the world. It had nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael, nothing to do with the Jewish people. Austro-Prussian war, I think, had nothing to do with the Jews. The Minkatcher, the one who wrote the Mincha Saluza, so he writes, he didn't live so long to see the Second World War, but during the First World War, so there was such a suggestion we should be goyzer tainus, and we should pray that the war should end. So he quotes this diary of the Chasam Sofer, and he says the First World War, he assumes, is an aschalta de geula, and you're not allowed to. He has two reasons why it doesn't make sense to be goyzer tainus. One is you only goyzer tainus if tainus tzibur, if there's a possibility, if there's a reasonable possibility that the tzibur will do tshuva. So by him, the biggest avera in the world was Zionism. That was his obsession. So he says, who's going to do tshuva? The chilonim, no chance. They're not going to do tshuva. The mizrahi, they're worse than the chilonim because they made a mitzvah. It's the biggest avera in the world. They made a mitzvah out of it. The aguda, they're worse than the mizrahi because they claim that they're anti-Medina and they're not. They're supporting the Medina. We don't have to do tshuva. We never did anything wrong. So very strange. All of his tshuvas are very decent. Except when he writes about Eretz Yisrael Zionism, he just goes out of his kelim. I remember I was friendly with an Ungarish. He was much older than me. He was brought up in Minkach. I remember when he passed away, I delivered a hesped in the Munkach Shtibel when this Balabas passed away. So he said when he remembers, he was in his 90s when he died. He said he used to talk to me in his 80s and his 90s. He said when he would remember the drushes that the Munkacher would hold in shul, he would be cursing everybody in shul, all the Zionists. He says he would be shaking in his 80s. He'd still be shaking from pachad, from the cursing that the Munkacher did. So the Pashtus is, like Rashi on that Gemara talks about this, what Mohammed arashalta de geula. So Rashi says, the Mohammed over Eretz Yisrael, if there's a war and the Jewish people win the war, that's arashalta de geula. Geula means binyan beis hamikdash. So the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Malachim, quotes a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says there are three mitzvahs that you have to fulfill in a specific order. The first mitzvah is to establish the Jewish government controlling all of Eretz Yisrael. The second mitzvah is to wipe out Amalek. And the third mitzvah is, after you wipe out Amalek and it'll be fully peaceful in Eretz Yisrael, then you build the Livnas Beis HaBchira. So the establishment of the Medina, when the Jewish people win the war, they make a Medina and they preserve the Medina. The enemy wants to take away the Medina. We preserve the Medina. That's called Aschalta de Geula, because the Geula, you have to figure out what does Geula mean. Whatever Geula means, you'll figure out what's Aschalta de Geula. Rav Kook, the first chief rabbi, the first Ashkenazi chief rabbi, used to talk about Aschalta de Geula. So many Hungarian rabbis at that time used to complain, what did he make up a new term, a new concept about Aschalta de Geula? Either you have Geula, you don't have Geula. He didn't make up. The Gemara talks about it. The Gemara says, Mohammed arashalta de geula. So the Pashup Shat is that Mohammed regarding Eretz Yisrael, if the Jewish people win the war, that's an arashalta de geula. We have in this week's Sedra, in the last few Sedras, we read about Yosef with the brothers. A terrible thing. The brothers sold Yosef. Mechiras Yosef was terrible. The Klal Yisrael doesn't get along. They're not unified. And when the brothers come, when Yaakov Avinu heard that Yosef is still alive, so there was a shaila, should we all move to Mitzrayim to have Achdus of Klal Yisrael? Or Yosef is stuck there in Mitzrayim. He's running the whole country. But we should all stay in Eretz Yisrael. They had a Hashuas Hashchina in Eretz Yisrael. And they called man that they were in Mitzrayim. There was no Hashuas Hashchina. That's what the Ramban writes in his Hakdamah to Chumash Mos. He says Chumash Bereishis is the sefer about all the beginnings, the beginning of the whole world, beginning of mankind, and beginning of the Jewish people. And you get to the end of Bereishis, you have Aram Yitzchak Yaakov and the Shvatim. So that's the beginning of the Jewish people. Then he says Sefer Shmos is all about the first Golus and the Geula therefrom. So then he says, how can I say the Geula therefrom? The Geula is when they came back to Eretz on the days of Yeshua ben Nun. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't live so long. So that's not till Sefer Yeshua. When you get to the end of Shmos, you still don't have Geula. So the Ramban says he doesn't think that's correct. He says the main tragedy of the fact that the Jewish people went into Mitzrayim was not so much that they weren't in Eretz Yisrael. That's a semi-tragedy. The main tragedy is that they didn't have, he paraphrases the Pasuk in Iyyub, Sod olaka aleo haleihem. When they lived, the others lived in Eretz Yisrael, they had a Hashuas Hashchina. When they went into Mitzrayim, there was no Hashuas Hashchina. When you get to the end of Chumash Mos, you have Truma Tetzaveh Vayakol Pikudi, four sedras about Binyan HaMishkan. So they had a Hashuas Hashchina. That was the Geula. They were still living in Chutz Lort, but they had already Geula. In 1948, when they established the Medina, so in the biography of the Chazon Ish, they quote, Chazon Ish already lived in Eretz Yisrael way before the Second World War. So when they established the Medina in 1948, so they quote from the Chazon Ish, he said, this is the end of the Golus, but we don't yet have the Geula. This is the end of the Golus, because the Jews are in control of Eretz Yisrael, whoever wants can come to Eretz Yisrael, the end of the Golus, but it's not. So people thought that it was double talk. The end of the Gula, why is that? And he said, no. Gula means Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Hashuas Hashchina. We have Eretz Yisrael, but you don't have the Hashuas Hashchina. So I remember Rav Soloveitchik every year would give comments on the Haggadah before Pesach. So he would explain when Yaakov Avinu heard that Yosef is in Mitzrayim, so he had a dilemma. Should the whole family, Yosef can't leave Mitzrayim. He's running a country over there. Should we all move to Chutz Laaretz in order to have Achdus of all of the Shvatim, Achdus of Klal Yisrael? Or should we remain in Eretz Yisrael? We all belong in Eretz Yisrael to continue to have Hashuas HaShchina. So the Shechina came to him and he told him, you should go down to Mitzrayim. Achdus of Klal Yisrael is more important than everything. So that's also an important point now. In fact, when the first days of this Muhammad, when they captured some of the Palestinian terrorists and they asked them how long they were planning this attack. So they said, 2 years already. And they said, what motivated them to attack now? They saw that the Jewish people are fighting amongst themselves. They couldn't have an election. They had to have so many different elections. And then after they elected Netanyahu, they're still fighting now, blocking the highways and everything, crazy thing. So when the Jewish people are not united, so the Goyim said that we're weak. So we have to reunite. You have to get together, and that will help in the war effort. We stand a better chance of winning the war if we'll all be united together. The Gemara tells us, and the Rambam quotes this in Hilchos Tshuva, "Ein yisan negolim ela b'tshuva." The Gula Hasidim will only take place if the Jewish people will do tshuva. And nonetheless, the Rambam quotes from the Chumash, "Kva hivticha haTorah." The Torah promises us, "Shastofim shal Yisrael asa tshuva." The end of days, the Jewish people will do tshuva. So Rav Soloveitchik used to talk about this every year in Aseres Mei Tshuva. How can the Torah promise that the Jewish people will do tshuva? Everybody has Bechira Chavshis. You can all decide we don't want to do tshuva. So Rav Soloveitchik used to explain that every Jew has, and when he's born, he has, when the Nochem are born, we say they have tabula rasa. They don't have any innate, they don't have any ideas built into their mind in advance. When they grow up and they're educated and they pick up from their parents, from their friends, from the school, whatever, then they develop ideas. So that's by the Umas Olam, they call that tabula rasa, and it's correct. But by Bnei Yisrael, it's not tabula rasa. We are born with an Ava Hamasu Teres. Every Jewish person, that's the Tanya has like that. Every Jewish person has a innate love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's abnormal for a Jewish person to do an Aveira. So let's say a person stands on his head. How long can he stand on his head? He's going to collapse after a while. So the Torah promises us that in the end of days, the Jewish people will have to do tshuva, because that's the normal thing for Jewish people, is to do Ratzon Hashem. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to explain. So the Gemara has on the same issue, where I raise the question, how can it be, how can the Torah promise that in the end of days, if the Gula will only come if he do tshuva, how can the Torah promise there's going to be tshuva? There's Bechira Chavshis. So the Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Maman Alei Melech Rosha Kehaman. He'll see to it that there'll be a goy, he'll be like Haman, who wants to kill men, women, and children of the Jewish people. And then when the Jewish people suffer, the Gemara calls that Hasoras HaTabas, because in Megillas Esther we read that Haman wanted to wipe out all the Jewish people. So he wrote a decree, and the king gave him, Ahasuerus took off his signet ring and gave it to Haman, put my signature on whatever you want. You want to wipe out the Jews, do whatever you want. Gemara calls that Hasoras HaTabas. So Gemara says, Hasoras HaTabas by the Jewish people works. By the other nations, probably wouldn't work. If they would be suffered, they would probably give up their whole religion. But by the Jewish people, we know why we're being punished. We know that we're doing something wrong. Many, many secular Jews in America, many, many secular Jews in Eretz Yisrael are committing themselves to observe Taras HaMishpacha, belief in Taras HaMishpacha. The most difficult thing, Shabbos, Kashrus, Taras HaMishpacha, whenever there's Hasoras HaTabas, the Jewish people know that they have to be Chozer B'Tshuva. So that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam is doing to us. He brought the Melech Rosh HaKohaman, who had this attitude, he wants to wipe out all the Jewish people, and there's a big Hasoras B'Tshuva. So if the Jewish people will all do Tshuva, then the Ribbono Shel Olam will bring the Gula. We hope this will be the last Muhammad of all Muhammads, and we should be zeichet to see Binyan Beis HaMikdash and Hashras HaShchina during our lifetime very soon.